This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
This is the Be One Change One podcast, where our mission is to help listeners define values, practice integrity, and inspire change.
Our vision is to mentor men and empower them to achieve more by taking responsibility for shaping their own lives.
He's Cass, an evolving man who has been shaped by adversity and continues to grow through his imperfections.
And he's Roscoe, an imperfect work in progress that tries to suck less every day.
Between us, we have over 40 years of Air Force fighter pilot experience with countless hours as trainers, instructors, and mentors.
Join us and learn to take responsibility for your own life as we dive into subjects from leadership to resilience to vulnerability.
Be the one who changes their course. Be decisive, driven, and purposeful. Set the example for others. Lead. We wish we'd had this show when we were younger men.
Be the one.
Okay, after much gnashing of teeth, we're finally ready to start. Test runs, cables everywhere. Welcome to the Be One Change One podcast.
Yes.
Finally, after talking about them for a few months now, we got the ladies on.
Yeah, we do.
Welcome.
Hello.
You guys are famous or infamous? Which is it? Is it infamous if you're a bad guy and famous if you're a good guy, right?
I don't know.
So you guys
think we're neither.
Neither? Okay. You got to talk into the mic. You can't.
I think we're neither.
Yeah, that's better. You started into the mic and then you did this. So finish.
We have a question.
Okay, go.
What do we do with our hand?
What do we do?
Nice.
Well, can we table
it's a really good run? I don't.
You just want to do the whole show like this?
I'm really proud of the team.
That was such a good movie. Just put your hands down. I think that's what the guy told him to do. Just put your hands down.
There was a show that I was on recently where I went through a litany of
emotion.
Well, that too, but. There was a litany of movies that every fighter pilot is required to watch and be able to quote at a moment's notice, and Talladega Nights is obviously one of those.
It is.
So we do that quite a bit in debriefs. I didn't know what to do with my
hands. Maybe that's what we screwed up today, is we didn't have a prayer to Dear Lord Baby Jesus first.
Probably. Well, that's your Jesus. My Jesus is the bearded ghost of Lynyrd Skynyrd concert.
So, yeah.
You know, got a tuxedo t-shirt in the front row.
The 8.5-pound baby Jesus.
Right. We're right up next to Christmas. This is going to be the last show of the year, and we thought it'd be a great idea to bring the ladies on. But before we get started, because it's Christmas, I brought gifts.
Oh, okay.
You're going to say we're going to sing.
Yeah, are we caroling?
You two carol while Cass opens his gift.
Oh, I didn't know we were doing this, man.
You guys are funny.
Surprise! Merry fucking Christmas.
That's awesome.
Is that cool?
Yeah, that's super cool.
Oh, But wait, there's more.
Do we have swag?
Everybody loves my dusty muffins. So, Katie, open that or give it to Alicia and let her open that.
Check
that shit out.
Look at this, babe. You want to change one podcast? We got shirts too. Dude, are we going? We got to get this stuff on. Dude, that's so awesome.
Keep unraveling. Keep unraveling.
I'm unraveling. Got a shirt to wear on the podcast now.
Yeah.
Dude, I love it.
Yeah, they turned out
isn't
really
cool. Show
the
so on the.
Yeah, I like the. So B1 Change One podcast on there. And then on the back is. Values, integrity, change.
And I'm pretty sure I spelled everything right, too. We ran it through a spell checker, so.
Yeah, the logo came out nice on the arm. Like, that's what we were hoping for. That's badass, dude. Thanks,
isn't that cool?
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right. So we're gonna hit pause real quick, and Cass is going to go do the Superman thing in the phone booth and come back out wearing his fucking shirt, and then we're going to fill these tumblers up with something juicy, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. That wasn't uncomfortable silence or anything. So, shirts, mugs.
Yeah,
I mean, we're practically fucking Kelly and Ryan now.
I know, right? Wait, who's Kelly?
Who's Ryan? Right. It's no longer Kelly and Ryan. It's Kelly and Mark.
Oh, that's right.
Is her
husband?
Am I really supposed to know this? I mean, I like Googled.
I'm surprised you knew Kelly and Ryan.
She left me in the truck for 10 minutes by myself, so I had to Google something real quick, and it came up with Kelly and Ryan.
I would have
like
done.
And Jason.
Yeah, thanks.
Whatever. I don't know what that means.
New Heights podcast.
The New Heights podcast?
Oh, yeah.
What is
Travis and Jason Kelsey. They do their podcast. Okay. That's what she's talking about.
So I saw this this picture of the Eagles, and they had taken it from like behind the running back, and it had Kelsey, you know, he's the center, right?
Yeah.
And then Jalen Hurts is the quarterback.
Yeah, Kelly Hurts.
And then
Kelsey Hurts Swift.
The running back was Swift. Yeah, so it had Kelly Hurts Swift, and I don't know.
Kelsey Hurts Swift. Yeah.
Kelsey Hurts Swift. I got Kelly on the mind.
That's right.
I'm an idiot. I thought, because your name is Jason, that she forgot your first name.
That was my immediate thought, so.
She may not know his first name.
Because she doesn't. Never mind.
We got
I'm not going
to
go
name.
Here.
Friday.
Listen to her first name.
Okay.
Well, at least one.
We hardly know each other's first. I hardly knew my first name for 20 years.
It's fun when you get to live that alter ego and you kind of forget about that for a little
bit.
But then one day,
Definitely Jason now.
Yeah.
No, just Jason. It's true to that, because when we started dating, you were like, it's really weird you're calling me Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody calls you Jason.
Yeah.
Well, I was Paul to her for so many years, and then all of a sudden I was Roscoe, but now she knows if she really wants to get my attention, she just yells Roscoe across the Walmart. And I'm,
Well, that's after I've said your name 10 times, Paul, 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 and then I'll yell Roscoe, and you immediately turn around.
Sorry. Okay, so we got this really cool dynamic here. Katie has a voice that carries. Like, she can cut through a fucking rock concert. Alicia has a very soft voice, so when Katie leans into the mic, it's ear-piercing. And when Alicia leans into the mic, it's like, huh? So
that's right. We'll do okay.
We'll be louder.
There you go. Yell into it. All right. So this was my idea, and this is going to go however it's going to go for the next however long it goes. So listeners, buckle up. But I wanted to go back through all of our episodes up to this point. We've got 21 that are out there. We've got 22 that are out there. We just hit 2,000 views.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So yeah, I mean, some good things are happening over at the B1 Change One podcast. But I wanted to see if we could get maybe a different point of view from the ladies on some of the behind the scenes things that have happened. Like when we initially started this thing and started having the conversations, and some of the episodes there has been specific incidents that have sparked those, and they know some of the behind the scenes things.
Sure.
That I think it'd bring up some cool conversation.
Sure.
So way back in, what was it, May, late April or May or so?
Yeah, it was May, I think, is when I first reached out to you.
It was the kids' awards banquet.
Yeah, so it was May.
Yeah, where we were texting each other and making fun of all the kids walking by and stuff. And,
yep.
And then all of a sudden Cass texts me and says, let's do a podcast. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm in. So what was, from y'all's point of view, there had to have been some discussion. I know that Katie and I had some discussion. There had to have been some discussion between you two about what is this going to look like? What are you guys going to talk about? What's going on? Are you?
Yeah, there was.
I don't remember all the way, but there was.
Yeah, there was.
It was a positive thing because you, this is hard.
Take it over. There you go.
You were looking to do something
Yeah.
Outside.
You speaking to the mic. There you go. Don't speak to him.
Going back. That's so difficult. Going back to school.
Yeah.
And this was a great fit.
Yeah. I almost went back and got a master's. I was looking at doing some other stuff on the side. Just, you know what it was for me, man, was my job now is not very intellectually tasking.
Yeah.
And one thing that I always appreciated about being in the fighter squadrons was every day was a challenge. You know, every day there was something to, you know, and obviously as you got older, there was routine to it as well. And, you know, some of the sorties weren't challenging necessarily from a personal skills perspective, but
there's a problem to solve, though.
Yeah. But when you're an IP building a, you know, what kind of a scenario do you want to build for the student that you're instructing to get the desired learning objectives across to him?
Yeah.
Or if he's struggling on something, how do you want to build a scenario so that it challenges that and he can finally find a way to overcome whatever it is that he's struggling with, decision making, whatever it is, right? And so there was always that challenge to it, or just the stuff of, you know, sitting there and telling guys how to fix their briefs, or the painful task of, you know, the debrief sometimes and making sure that they're getting the right nuggets out, but also kind of sitting there patiently on your hands, letting them try to figure out the process for themselves, you know? And so there was always challenge, which was good, you know? And then not to mention just the other stuff that we did day to day that was, you know, outside of the scope of flying that was challenging at times, leading people and trying to motivate people and firing people and things like that. So, I needed something that was a little intellectually stimulating, and this has been a great outlet for me because, you know, I do a lot of research on the topics that we're doing, and it gives me an ability to exercise that part of me and my brain, which I needed because it was atrophying.
That's cool.
So
awesome. Katie, from your point of view, I know you and I have been talking about doing some things for a little bit, and then this opportunity popped up. So you and I had some closed door discussions or sitting around our living room. So share with us some of those things that came out, and what did you think? It was a good idea, bad idea? What?
I knew right away that you were in because you had already talked about maybe doing a podcast on your own or with somebody else. And, you know, you had written that one book, No New Lessons, and we're in the middle of getting Work Hard, Don't Suck started. And we were about to be empty nesters. And so the same kind of thing, trying to get this message out here to the younger generation.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you come into the living room and said, hey, Cass just sent me this text and, you know, wants to do a podcast. And I was like, well, there you go.
Yeah.
It would be a good fit.
You know, something that Katie and I share a lot between each other is we talk about the energy that you put out into the universe and the energy that you receive. And I felt like for a long time, we've been putting a lot of positive energy out, or at least trying to, because I got so tired of going to social medias and seeing nothing but negativity and gym pictures, right? I wanted to see some positive shit. So I thought that maybe I would start that. So anybody that looks at any of my social media stuff, I hate doing that shit, but there's a reason behind it. It's because I want to flood everybody with positive things. And I try to put a lot of that stuff out. I try to be a little bit funny. Katie and I do we've started this little series about shit they don't tell you in marriage counseling, which has been a lot of fun.
Which is wrong. It's supposed to be premarital counseling.
Shit
they don't tell you before you get married.
22 episodes, I've never once claimed to be an intellect. I've never once claimed to be smart. I've never once claimed to be an intellect. So
even though you are,
I think the listeners can appreciate my misuse of the words.
Yes, but that's been fun because it's all our real life.
It is.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Dogs getting in the trash. That stupid video got 2,000 hits on Instagram. Me sitting there talking about how I screwed up not taking out the trash. So whatever. Anyways, we're trying to put positive things out into the universe. And so I thought that was, you know, you can call it God, energy, serendipity. Excuse me, fate, whatever. But I believe that people are brought into your life for a reason and opportunity, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
We've talked about some of the other connections that we've made, and you know that the fact that we've done the things that we did in our careers and the lives that we've led, that may not have been our purpose. That may have been a piece to a bigger puzzle. And I know that I've been having a lot of fun with the podcast, just telling stories and sharing life experience.
Yeah, well, I have too. And I think, you know, it's just transitions. And we talk about this in the podcast too, right? Like everything comes to an end eventually. Whether you're an athlete or a fighter pilot or whatever, like it's whatever you're in is going to run its course.
So
I think what we did for 20 years, 25 years, definitely gave us some skills and some tools and some ability to talk about the things that we talk about on the podcast. You know, I don't think if my 25-year-old self probably would not be saying the same things that
He wouldn't have that experience.
I am now because he didn't have that experience. Yeah. So, yeah, I agree with that completely.
I mean, look at the library of stories that you collected, you know, personally, professionally. It's pretty cool. Yeah. So anyways, that was episode zero, where we just basically talked about how did we even get to this point, a little bit of our backgrounds growing up, you know, how two very different people ended up sitting across the table from each other. And I mean, it all really comes down to just taking advantage of opportunities.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. So the next episode was, I think this was my idea based on a podcast that I'd watched back in the summertime where a couple of guys just sat across the table asking each other questions. And so
The five questions.
The five questions one. Yeah, that was the next episode that we did. Episode one. So who are we is episode zero. And then episode one was five questions. And we didn't tell each other the questions we were going to ask. And Cass came out swinging, like big, heavy, deep questions. And what I learned out of the five questions episode was that Cass really likes tacos. So
I do.
We had the question was, if you could eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
And that's such a weird.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Answer.
Why?
Because elaborate, please.
Such a weird answer. One food for the rest of your life is tacos.
For sure.
Not like mine would be probably potatoes, because you can eat it all kinds of different ways. And it's carby and it fills you up and I can survive.
So do tacos. I could survive off of fish tacos.
So, okay. So here it's true. You learn something new every day. I did not know this about you.
Yeah.
Well, so if you listen to the Be One Change One podcast, you would.
I know I didn't get to episode one, but you'll be happy to know. I did listen to a bunch of them.
She did.
I know. I told Rosco. I go, so.
She listened backwards.
I did. Oh. I started at 19 and went backwards and then got half of 20.
When you say you didn't get to episode one, there's only one up to this point, so it seems like a colossal.
Yeah, no, she didn't start at the beginning. Well, but I told her too. In her defense, I told her, you know, the first three was really just you and I trying to build rapport with the audience, and she knows both of us pretty well at this point, you know. Yeah. And so, I feel like we really started to get to the nitty gritty of it in episode four, which was the values episode.
Was that also the one where went really down the sci-fi book tangent where you went like 20 minutes talking about this book?
Yeah.
Totally nerded out and guys wearing
Ember's War
uniforms and
great series.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah. I'm a dork. Well, I'm sorry.
But you know what? I mean,
guess what, guys? Fighter pilots are also dorks.
Yeah. What?
It's a real thing.
One of the cool things that, and you were just saying it, was these early episodes that we were doing. I mean, there is a little bit of a skill to this, and
we were trying to figure it out.
We knew nothing about sound. We knew nothing about equipment. The fact that we just set all this shit up here in about 15 minutes, that would have taken us a whole day back then. And then there's the back and forth and picking up on the nonverbals and stuff. So there was a little bit of a strategy to the early episodes.
A learning curve at the beginning.
Yeah. So
for sure.
Yeah. And if you go back and the episode zero, Who Are We, is still one of our top. It's still one of our top episodes, unfortunately. And I say that kind of tongue in cheek, because I think when new people come to the Be One Change One podcast, they instinctively or just naturally start go to. They go to the first episode in the series. And I mean, if you listen to that one and then you go to our last one, I think it's two very different things because we've had 22 opportunities to sit here and just get a little bit better at it. So still not there, but
I noticed a sound quality between episode 8 and episode 7. When I first started listening to 7, I didn't get through 7, but you guys are right. And you guys are awesome.
Yeah.
We've definitely gotten better over time. We started to add video, you know, we have swag. Like it's getting better.
Well, Kelly and Ryan,
we're getting there.
Mugs and shit.
Yeah, we're getting there.
The next,
my name is Katie.
Katie and Ryan. Who's Ryan? So the next episode 2 was How to Win Hard. And I think we had some questions from some youngsters that we just kind of compiled them and talked about some winning strategies. If you're a young person and you guys know that we kind of tailored this towards the male side of it, but we talk about strategies on just how to win at life. And that episode was just kind of nitpicking a couple of those things. Nothing real. I don't want to say earth shattering, but the reason I say that is because we went deep in a lot of the other episodes on some of the things that we talked about, things like the effort and the integrity and, you know, sticking to your values and stuff like that. So that was kind of covered the first three.
Yeah, we tried to keep it light the first three just to build a little rapport with the audience before we started to get into some deeper topics.
Yeah. And then the fourth episode, which is number 3, was Work Hard, Don't Suck.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did Work Hard because you were releasing the book.
We were releasing the book the same week. And selfishly, I wanted to do an episode on that because, well, it's fucking at least 50% my podcast. So
yeah, but that book goes hand in hand with what you guys are talking about and doing on this podcast.
It does, absolutely. And I mean, you can read down the table of contents and start picking out some of the things that we did. The things that we've talked about on the show is, I mean, a lot of it just comes right out of the table of contents of that book. What do you got?
I was going to share this with you, but I'll just do it now. So a fighter pilot buddy of mine, who's retired now, flies for UPS. He sent me a text today and said, his son, Austin, has been enjoying and learning from the podcast, and he's reading Work Hard, Don't Suck. So there you go.
Well, there you go. That's awesome. See, it's getting out there. That's great. I think, I mean, obviously I'm biased, but I think it's a good compilation of a lot of the things that we talk about. Just how to win at life.
Yeah.
How to be a good dude and, you know, how to be loved by your people and love your people and be successful however you define that.
Yeah.
So now Katie and I had some, there were some interesting things going on right there. Cause at the same time that we're having this discussion on the podcast, we're trying to do a book launch. So that week was a little,
stressful. Week.
It was a little stressful. Yeah. And then it kind of, I use the word flopped. Katie doesn't agree with me. So what do you think?
I think you had your expectations way too high. And I think it goes down to timing and when it's released and you're doing this at the same time. And your last book was a success when you first launched it. And it's still gaining traction. No New Lessons is a great story about your hike and everything to the magic bus. But before when we did our book launch, it was right before Christmas and all this other kind of thing. So I think it's just happening organically and it's going to pick up steam and get the word out. Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's basically a toolbox of stuff to teach your kids before they leave the nest. And I think that we did a pretty good job with our kids. Not pat ourselves on the back, but they're not knuckleheads and all that kind of stuff. And it's just, you know, topics that you need to touch on, you know, make sure you hit it and leave them with some good advice.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting putting that book together. There was a lot of long nights. Katie and I went down the list cause I had 160 of those things. And we went down the list and pared it down to the 61 that made it into the book. And she had a big hand to play in that. So thank you. Thanks for your help.
Yeah. And thanks Austin for listening to the podcast and for reading the book.
No kidding.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Keep supporting, keep sharing it, especially the young guys. We're looking at the demographics out there. We're getting closer to reaching the demographic that we hoped to reach when we started, at least our vision anyway. So for the young people that are listening, keep sharing it amongst your circles.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can eventually tell a story that'll be a hook to keep you on. So then we got into some deeper stuff.
Yeah.
Episode 4 was self-inspection. You want to take that one?
Yeah. Well, if you've listened to any of the episodes of the podcast, almost everything we talk about eventually comes back to self-inspection and then values, defining your personal values. Yep. And those are kind of the the two first steps, I think, that you have to get your nugget around in order to start working towards and doing some of the other things that we talk about.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, it's hard to have integrity if you don't know what your value system is, but if you can't be introspective, it's hard to find your values, right? It's hard to be resilient and come throughout the other side of, you know, some hard adversity in life better if you don't have the ability to be self-inspective and to go, hey, what did I screw up in this process? And what's the parts that I'm accountable to and what do I need to change and fix so that this doesn't happen again? So I'm really glad that we kind of led with those two as our first two, because that really, to me, is the foundation for everything else we talk about.
Yeah.
Is that being able to be have a self-inspection or be introspective, and then being able to define your personal values.
Yeah, we see a lot of these things being circular. You know, I mean, the discussions, they all kind of keep coming back to the same.
Just say it. Big old knot.
It's a big old knot. He loves it when I say that. Also, story time with Roscoe. But I think if you had to draw this on a circle, that's kind of this continuum of, you know, how do we get there from here? And there's the integrity, and there's the values, and there's the self-inspection. And it's kind of this loop. I think that self-inspection piece has got to be at the top of it.
Yeah.
Because that's where it all starts, right?
That's where it all starts.
And in that episode, we went into the honesty, the effort, the integrity, you know, all that stuff. And we talked about the Stoics and the values and virtues and all that shit. But, where I wanted the ladies to jump in on this is, see if you can give me an example. I know you can. Give me an example of times when maybe we didn't display some of these things. I can think of one that happened about an hour ago where I was about to eject out of my freaking truck just due to the events that have happened today. Right. And she's over in the passenger seat just telling me, woosah, just calm down, you know.
Well, I was saying that because, you know, we call ourselves the Griswolds because that shit's going to happen to us when it's not supposed to happen, when we're on a time crunch or something like that. And you were so spun up and I'm just like, dude, chill, just laugh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it.
Thankfully, I've got her to talk me off a ledge for the most part. Do you have anything funny? Does Cass ever just go into orbit about nothing like me?
Whatever you want.
Throw it out
don't
there.
You have to look at me.
I was going to say, am I talking?
Yeah, you're good.
You really don't.
I'm pretty even kill.
And I know when he's off and he doesn't always speak to it right away.
Yeah.
That's kind of the
deal. Well, she knows I'm a marinator. Sometimes it takes me a couple of days to figure out what's going on for me. So I can be in a bad mood and she'll recognize it. But she also knows, because we've talked about this, that sometimes I don't know what it is that's bugging me necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I think I've gotten pretty good about when I figure it out. It may take a day or two sometimes, but when I figure it out, circling back and having that conversation with her.
Yeah. I think I hold the bottle rocket status.
Yeah, she does. Definitely.
Oh, do tell.
She's a lot more fire and ice than I am. It's the Italian in her.
But I'm going to just do a quick reframe and just another way of looking at these things. These first few podcasts you guys have done is like foundations, right? Like the solid foundation of like that. You guys call it self-inspection. I call it awareness, self-awareness.
Yeah, same thing.
But yeah, the values, all that. It's like you lay that solid foundation and then, you know, you just build on top of it.
Yeah.
I agree.
At the end of the day, the things that we talk about is how to help you navigate the hurdles in your life. And you have to know yourself before you can do that.
I was just going to say that is you can't do anything or stay where you're at or make changes until you're aware of what's good or bad that's happening and what, you know, is maybe your fault or how you're reacting to something.
Yeah. Well, you have to be honest with yourself too, if you're ever going to have, you have to be honest with yourself because guess what? Most of the time when shit goes sideways, you've got a part to play in it. Like you have some pieces to be accountable around it, right? I mean, and that was a hard truth that we got reminded of every fucking day in the fire squadron. So, but you have to be, and that's the self-inspection piece of it, that awareness. And it's not just about being honest with yourself too, but it's also being aware of your feelings and what's going on for you. And, you know, when you start to get a grip on those things, then you can acknowledge what's happening or what's going on for you, but that also lets you kind of step out into whatever you have to do that day with a little bit more intention and recognition of, hey, maybe I need to make sure I do things in this manner today, because if I don't, it's going to tip me over the edge and I'm going to end up doing something that I'm going to regret, blah, 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 blah. So I don't want to get all down into self-inspection right now.
No, but you're hitting on it, man. Cause I mean, I know that we have a couple of things that are going, a couple of examples, I'll just say, and I'll keep it very generic, wave tops, but we have some people that we know that are going through some rough times in their relationship. And, you know, you can tell that they've gone different ways, and that's very evident, but it doesn't seem like either one of them are ready to own their part of it, you know, and that's just on a relationship standpoint, let alone down to the personal level of going, hey man, you know, I, for however many years we were together, I definitely influenced this and I definitely had an impact one way or another. And then, you know, there's another, another relationship that we're trying to mentor some people through that one side of it, I think, is doing very well and asking the right questions and taking the time and putting in some of the effort. And that person is still, he's still messing it up a little bit, but that's normal. And we say that all the time on the podcast, you're going to fail. You're going to screw things up.
And guess what? It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to sit down and be honest and go, man, I really fucked that up. Or I was really a dick about that. Or you know what? I did all of these things in this relationship and I could have done so much, but it's hard to come to grips with that stuff, man, and to admit it and then to come up. But until you do, you can't come up with a game plan about how to move forward and how to fix it.
But that person is at least moving the ball and going forward, where the other person is blaming others, not taking accountability, not aware, and being the victim, and is stuck in this cycle.
Yeah, that you'll we're end trying up in the vicious.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you can't do it for them. All you can do is.
Well, Katie bought some little like daily affirmation little cards, and she came back to the room last night. I was back there reading, and she came in there and she goes, hey, I need you to help me with this a little bit. And everyone that she read to me, I was like, oh, well, that's just effort. Oh, that's controlling what you can control. That's emotional equity. I mean, it's all the stuff that we talk about on the show. And I'm telling you, man, this is, like you said, this is the foundations to figuring out who the fuck you are and then how to fix your shit.
Yeah.
Because life goes on. You can't stay in the same.
Yeah.
Well, it's like we've been saying, right? You're in 10 years from now, you're going to arrive. Where you arrive is completely up to you and the choices that you make. So
bingo. Well,
go ahead,
Alicia, all of that.
Jump in.
Professional.
Well, no, it's something. It's like what you were saying, and I think I.
All right. Remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's got to be.
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy. It's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
I got this. This is something I read off Brene Brown, but I probably am going to screw it up, but it's not about knowing better. It's about doing better. Mm-hmm. So we don't always know, but when we do know, or when we do get that education, it's how do I improve it? Right. So how do we improve communication if we've been stopped? It's like, oh, now I know better. So now I just need to do better. I'm not going to beat myself up for knowing if I didn't know. Right. It's about learning and educating. And,
but how frustrating is it when they know better but aren't doing the actions and doing
no, because you know what, this is the fun thing, right? Is do you believe people are doing the best that they can? No. And if they are, then that's their best.
No, I don't believe that person's doing the best that they can. And hearing someone tell them this stuff is not the same as owning it and knowing it. Like, you can have the information in your brain, but until you apply that to yourself and your life, what good is it? It's not doing you any good. Like, yeah, somebody told me this once upon a time, but
it's just information.
They need to apply the things that they're being told. And if they'll, it's so frustrating when you can see the train wreck happening in slow motion and you're like, if I could just peel off the top of your nugget and put this in there, we could fix this problem. But this person is resistant to applying any of the things that they've been told. And it's all the stuff that we've been talking about on here. Own your stuff. Start with owning your part of it. This was not a solo venture. I mean, relationships are
It's not easy though, man. I mean, it's just, it's, if we're honest with people that listen to this podcast, it's not easy. No. I mean, no. it requires a tremendous amount of courage, mm-hmm. because you open yourself up to a ton of vulnerability.
Sometimes it's embarrassing.
You know, and it can be embarrassing, or there can be shame, like we've talked about, that's wrapped up in it. Oh, we'll there can be all kinds of stuff that goes along with it, you know, and too, depending on, you know, past relationships, the environment people grew up in, there's all kinds of factors that affect, mm-hmm. the lens that they view some of those things through. And it's tough to shift out of that sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's a good, you know, going from the self-inspection episode, which was awesome. We might want to revisit that later down the road, because that was one of our very early episodes. And I mean, I know that the episode turned out good and we got across a lot of the points, but we may want to reattack that and just see if we want to dig a little deeper into it.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll asterisk that one and see about that in the future. But sure. Then that one, go ahead.
Well, and I think it's good for you from, you know, every now and then to touch on the foundational aspects of these things.
Well, we do almost every episode. We go back to these two, episode 4 and episode 5 is self-inspection and then values. So episode 5, values, was where Cass put me on the hot seat and started scratching. And I don't know if I was completely prepared for that piece of it, but I'm glad that I'd gone through the exercise so that I understood how to ask the questions. And for the listeners, I mean, I just did that like the day prior.
Yeah.
And it took me a few hours to really dig, and I kind of had a map on a piece of paper, and that's where I came down to my three of freedom, effort, and loyalty.
Yeah. Well,
what are you talking about? You're talking about what your values are.
Yeah. So, those personal values. So for those of us who have not listened to the podcast, I'll spell that out. Oh yeah. That's not going away.
That's okay. I'm guessing he used an exercise with you that I gave him.
Probably true.
It is. It was pretty
100%. I think he said on the episode, well, this is what Alicia did to me, or something like that.
Probably.
Get your minds out of the gutter, people.
Was that kind of show now? Yeah.
Well, I told you it was going to deteriorate quickly. But so Cass asked me, he started asking me some leading questions and finally got down to, what do you think your values are? And then he asked why, and kind of that Simon Sinek, the five whys. If you ask why five times, you finally get down closer to the answer. And that's where I came up with and actually laid out my values and why I held those. And then I turned the table back on the cast.
Well, I wasn't trying to put you in the hot seat. What I was trying to do was just ask questions because I've done that exercise with several men, and there's a little bit of a process that you have to go to really kind of refine it and drill it down to the kind of big two or three. And so I was using you to kind of get across to people that listened to the episode.
I was a guinea pig.
And I said that in the podcast, you know, these are the kind of things that you need to ask yourself when you're going through this. But I think what's more important than any of that is, did you find it valuable?
Yeah. That's all right. I've been a guinea pig and a test bunny before. Usually it involved doing something really dumb, like jumping off of something or drinking something that nobody else wanted to drink. But good exercise. And I highly recommend listeners that haven't gone back and listened to that, go back through that and listen to the way that Cass dug in, so to speak, and really scratched and got down below the surface of the why and try to get to the understanding of where those values come from. I mean, some of those, like you had mentioned, your integrity goes all the way back to your childhood, mm-hmm. and you have a visceral reaction when somebody challenges your integrity. Well, that means that's a solid value to you.
Well, and I remember, that's funny, because I remember you doing to me what he did to you when we were walking, talking about, well, what are your values? And I immediately was like, I don't know. Well, family. And then you started asking questions. And then it turns out with these questions that it's really loyalty, not family. And it was a good exercise.
Yeah, you know? It is.
But I'm the same with you. Integrity is my number one thing. And it stems from a younger part of me. You know, something happened and I have a visceral, like, physical reaction to it.
Yeah, I think it's important to know too. One, it's a valuable exercise. And two, I think the important part of doing that is it takes, because I think intrinsically, to a certain extent, we all kind of have an idea of what those values are for us or operate in a belief that we do. But when you actually walk through and break it down and take the time to do what we did on the podcast and individually, it brings it to the forefront of your mind, right? Yeah. And that's where, with it in the forefront of your mind now, that's where you can really lean into it when you're facing questions in life, you know, adversity, or how to react, or, you know, that's where you get, when it's at the front of your mind, that's where you can really begin to align your actions mm-hmm. and, you know, your words and all of those things, which
and
is
why
that
maybe reacting a certain way right. or why and, you're this, you know,
whatever. And that's the practice integrity piece of the yeah. podcast that we talk about, right? You can't really practice integrity and walk in integrity if you don't understand your own personal values.
Yeah.
You kind of have to do that work first, which goes back to what Alicia was saying. That's why it's so foundational.
Well, there is an episode coming out on integrity. It'll be out sometime after the first of the year, but yeah. we'll deep dive into that and how do you actually practice integrity and really kind of get down in the nitty gritty of it. But the point of the values exercise and walking through that, and then the self-inspection piece. And I love that we put those two episodes side by side each other, because what you really want to get to, at least in my opinion, is you want to get to a point in your life where when you perform an action or before you perform an action, you ask yourself, does this align with my values? And then that guides you to a yes or no decision.
Yeah.
Kind of. So, you know, and I use the example of walking past the trash on the floor. I'm walking through the hallway at work and there's a couple pieces of popcorn on the floor. Do you stop and pick it up? Yes or no? You stopped at the red light out in the middle of the desert that never changes. What do you do? You know, those kinds of questions. Yeah, they're kind of theoretical and you can kind of pontificate on them a little bit, but really in your day-to-day lives, you're driving down the 303 and somebody cuts you off in traffic. What do you do? Does this align with my values? Yes or no kind of thing. So, and that's where, you know, today I had to talk to myself a little bit. Katie was talking to me, but I had to have some conversations inside my own brain because, I was not being a very good dude. I told her, we were walking through Walmart and I said, I am about to erupt. Like I was just before grabbing the Salvation Army guy and beating him with his little kettle pot. But
well, everybody's cutting us off in aisles and, you know, it's just fine.
Yeah.
What'd you expect?
Ladies walking down the freaking parking.
Well, and I just want to
between parking, looking at her phone. She has no idea what's going on around her.
We make mistakes.
So sweet.
I just want to say too, because you talked about, you really liked the fact that we put those two back to back.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've appreciated about this process with you is that everything that we've done to this point for the most part has been very intentional.
Yeah.
And so I want the listeners to know, like, we're not just up here willy-nilly trying to come up with things to talk about. Like, we've been very intentional about what we've talked about, mm-hmm. kind of the order that we've talked about things in and how we've done things.
Yeah.
Instead of just getting on and, you know, shooting from the hip and we don't really have a topic and let's just see where the conversation goes kind of thing.
No, there's lengthy conversations and filled up whiteboards on what order do we put these in? What do we want to talk about? We've been talking about doing emotional intelligence for a long time and we just haven't gotten there yet.
Well, that's because I'm still doing research.
Yeah. I mean, well, but maybe it's not time. It's not easy. Maybe we got some other things that we want to throw out there.
It's a big bear.
So we did self-inspection. And then we did values. And then we wanted to throw a fun one out there.
Yeah, and this is a great idea, Roscoe.
And so we took Top Gun Maverick and we broke
this one's my favorite.
And so we broke down Top Gun Maverick, and specifically we broke down four of the characters in there: Hangman, Rooster, Bob, and Maverick. Of course Maverick himself. And tried to figure out where their values lied.
This is a grammar free zone. No judgment.
Cass always says, I was told there'd be no math.
Yeah.
So you guys know I invent words all the time. If I can say it and spell it and use it in a sentence, it's good. So with those four characters in mind, trying to get down into what we think drove them and how they got to the point, and then kind of their character arc through the movie. So what did you guys think of the Top Gun Maverick episode? Katie, you said it was your favorite. So,
well, I thought it was, one, it was a great movie, but I thought it was a really good way for you to get the point of understanding your values and determining your values and all that stuff using a modern hit that just came out in the theater. Yeah,
or
you know.
Lack thereof.
It's like pop culture.
Pop culture, that was the word I was trying to.
Kind of like Kelly and Ryan. Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, I like to hear, you know, I was a fighter pilot brat, military brat too, so I've grown up in this my whole life, but I like to hear your cool guy stories and how you broke it down like this is true, but that would have never happened, and you know, that kind of stuff I thought was really fun. I laughed a lot in that one.
That was a fun episode to do, and got us a chance to kind of explore the space on what's drama versus what's real. And
yeah, well, I think it was fun because we got to analyze the characters, but we got to bring some realism because we lived that life. We got to talk about what's real and what's not, right? And what's Hollywood and what's not. But the other part that I particularly appreciated about that episode too was that was kind of the first chance that we got to kind of counter the cultural narrative that is very predominant for men about what it is to be a man.
Yeah,
and we talked about that, right? Because Maverick is the hero, and you know, that's the guy that we're all supposed to grow up and emulate, you know, because he's a badass fighter pilot, but you know, doesn't want any accountability, doesn't want to be self-inspective, right? Because he can't, he hasn't dealt with his past, doesn't want to deal with his past. He can't manage relationships, professional or personal. You know, he doesn't have any respect for authority.
Yeah.
You know, he does whatever he wants, whenever he wants, does it his way, it's his way or the highway kind of a
and
thing.
And you touched on it and he is alone.
because he's of a complete loner, you know? And so that's the other piece of that one that I particularly enjoyed because that's the pervasive kind of narrative and culture for what a man's supposed to be. And I think it's bullshit.
I think, I like that. Let me stay on that for a second. I think in the last 20 years or so, there's been this boom of this narrative of what the man should be, and specifically talking about the military guys that are out there. Whenever you Google, you know, manly stuff or military stuff, there's this image of this guy who's all roided up and all tatted up and got all his cool guy gear on, and he's stomping around out in the woods with, you know, night vision goggles on or something. And guys, I'm just here to tell you that's not reality. I mean, that is a very, very small population. And those guys, those types of dudes have found a niche, and they're speaking to a particular group of people who like that kind of stuff.
But yeah, for the Team Six,
I would say the vast majority of people, you're not going to grow up to look or be like that. You're just going to be normal dudes, and that's okay.
Yeah. And right, nothing wrong with it. If you like to shoot or you like guns or you like doing, that's cool, man. I like to shoot too. Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to belittle anybody but you know, like I think I don't remember if it was that episode, but I talked one episode. You know, I saw a guy in a big truck with a license plate that said "Never Forgive."
Yeah,
you know, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. You know, is that really how you want to live the rest of your life, brother? You're gonna be a pretty miserable soul, you know.
Probably.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I don't know. There's that whole, the whole manosphere. We've talked about this a bunch on the podcast too, right? This culture about you got to be tough and, you know, you handle everything by being a badass MMA fighter or, you know, go take a bunch of selfies of yourself, self-kitted up, which Alicia and I have an inside joke. I call those guys Couch Team Six because it's like, come on, dude, you're not like, let's be honest, you know, if, whatever. That kind of stuff cracks me up.
Is that representation that you're talking about of all the, I'm not used to this. I'm usually being told to be quiet, not speak up.
You can speak normally, but please speak into the microphone.
But is the representation that you're talking about of all the, you know, roided out guys and all this, you know, manly stuff, is that a direct counter action to all the toxic masculinity that's been talked about throughout the last decade or whatever, to where they want to project that we can be like this and, you know, we're not toxic and everything. I don't know.
Yeah. I think so. And again, like if you like MMA, if that's an outlet for you and you just like martial arts, then dude, go do it. I'm not suggesting anything like that, but without getting too deep into things, cause we've got a bunch of other episodes to get through. What I'll just say is, and I said this on a podcast too, if you want to be badass, be a badass friend. If you want to be badass, be a badass partner, right? Be a badass husband, be a badass dad, right? If you want to be badass, be there for people. Like, extend yourself, be vulnerable, have some courage, get out of your comfort zone, seize opportunity, right? You don't have to walk around with a gun on your hip, you know, and big biceps to be cool or to be badass. That's not what it's about. That's not what a man is about. A man is, you know, I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
I'll get on a rant otherwise.
Yeah. We don't want to. Yeah. Let's not bog down too much. And for the guys and gals that are listening,
just go back, be like Bob. That's all I'll say.
Go
be
back
like
and Bob. Check out episode 6 because we had some fun with that one. That was a fun episode. And I believe that aside from episode 0, I believe that that is our highest download count thus far. So it's an entertaining episode. It's fun, but there's a lot of value to be had out of that discussion. And so the next one, I want to turn this over to Katie for a second because we went into 4-letter F words. And we had planned on doing that episode already.
Yep.
And then there was an event that happened before we got a chance to record it. And we almost made just a slight pivot.
We did.
To fit this in. So, Katie, why don't you tell us how we ended up getting to that point? You know the whole story.
There's two events, but that particular event's the one that tipped the iceberg, I think.
It was the one that happened in August. And
yeah, and I think that you were already scheduled to do this podcast. Anyways,
we were going to do 4-letter F words.
You did do it a few days later, I think.
After this event happened.
Yeah. So I was, it was, I think, Saturday or Sunday evening. And I was laying on the floor watching TV. And all of a sudden, it was late. It was like 8:30, 9 o'clock, something like that. And, you know, I usually.
Just before you get too far down the story, just try to keep names out of it if we can. Because I don't want to.
Yeah, no names.
I don't want to dox anybody or anything. That's a word, right?
Yes. It is now.
but my I didn't have my phone next to me because I'm laying on the floor and it's late at night and whatever. And so the phone text bings and I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'm not going to answer it. It's probably a scam, you know, one of those advertising texts or whatever. And then my messenger goes off and then another one goes off and I'm like, okay, well, this is weird being late at night and you know, one right after the other. So I get up and that's when I had from a fellow fighter pilot spouse and from my good friend who texted me. It was all within like 30 seconds coming through that our good friend had taken his life. And it was, I mean, I had to read it like 3 times before it like hit me what was happening. And then I start boohooing immediately and then go out. Paul, I think you were on the computer. I think you were had your headphones on and everything. And you, I don't even know what you thought when I came through the room, but I was in pure like shock.
Yeah.
You know, that's first time, you know, I'm very blessed first time in 47 years that anything like that has happened to me.
Yeah. You know? She came back into I was back into my man cave on my computer doing some stuff. And she came back there and she's bawling, crying. And, you know, I take my headphones off. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And she said, this person just took his own life. And I was like, I mean,
disbelief.
I was even shocked. I just sat there staring at her.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't, my face couldn't come up with the right expression to emote correctly on that. And I don't even know how better to say that because it wasn't shock. It was just like, huh?
Yep.
Well, like this isn't real.
Yeah. You know? Like you're punking me or something. Yeah.
And then I think you called me the night before we actually recorded the next day and said, hey man, I think you told me about what was going on.
Yeah.
And then we had just had another friend who I think just 2 months prior had done the same thing.
Yeah.
It was within, I was in a month or two. And, you're like, what do you think about talking about suicide up front?
Yeah.
On the 4-letter F words. And I was like, yeah, man, let's do it.
Yeah.
So that's how we did that.
Yeah, it's an uncomfortable topic.
And, it is.
And, you know, just saying the word kind of makes you get the chills a little bit. But it's a message that I think needs to be thrown out there.
It's real and it needs to be talked about. You know.
We got some stuff coming up after the first of the year, listeners, that we're going to highlight. At least once or twice, we've got some guests that are going to come on and hopefully talk a little bit more in depth because they have nonprofits that are running that deal with that. And they probably know a lot more of the numbers and the information that we can get around it. But that was a heavy episode.
Yeah, that was.
It was a heavy episode. And I think we did it justice and we still did 4-letter F words and we tied it all together neatly, I think. But, and I think just mentally, If you listen to those 4-letter F words, we had fail and fake and fear,
fume.
Yeah. You take funk was in there. And, and if you took all of those just for what they're worth, you could see where they could lead down a path. And
That actually tied up pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you know, that incident had to happen for us to get to that point. But I mean, if there's any bright lining or silver lining out of that, then we were able to at least highlight some of the information and get some of it out there.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to touch on the fact of how close-knit and tight the military brotherhood not only the brotherhood, but the families and the spouse network is. You know, I hadn't talked to, you know, these people in a long time, and sad that a funeral, you know, had to bring, you know, some we hadn't seen in what, 10, 15 years or something like that. It was like we saw them yesterday, but as you know, as soon as it happened, everybody was on board, all the spouses, getting the word out, seeing what, you know, the family needs, what do we need, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's, military has to become your family because you're away from your literal family and you have to depend on each other, and it just bonds you forever.
Yeah, it activates pretty quick when it happens.
Well, there was a while all that was going on, one of the bros, and I even commented, I think, on a podcast of how I was impressed at how quickly the brotherhood stood up. And within 24 hours, I'd probably gotten 10 or 12 phone calls. But beyond that, Katie and I went to the funeral and, you know, kind of a reunion with a lot of people we hadn't seen in a long time. But there is still a Facebook message with what, 50 or 60 people on it, spouses and active guys or retired guys that we all knew each other. And we still go in there and talk. So, you know, there was good that came out of it. It reconnected a lot of us. And I think that's probably a natural evolution in life where you just, you're on your path and you're going from stepping stone to stepping stone. And then you lose touch with a couple of guys over here. And that event, not only were we able to highlight it on the podcast, but for us, it brought a lot of us back together. And I just got an email from, or a text message from a dude the other day. It was like, hey man, cold out of the blue. Hey man, how's it going? You know, haven't talked to you in a while. And we exchanged some funny shit. And I think we need a little more of that.
Yeah.
You know, a little more reach back, a little more keeping people in the loop kind of thing.
We're hardwired for a connection.
You can't get her too energized.
Yeah.
You know, she'll go into her mode and start throwing that IQ around.
That's okay.
All right. We did a First Name Friday. That was the first one that we did. That was episode 8. And I don't even remember the questions that we asked on that
one. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I think First Name Friday is fun because it encourages folks to send us questions and gives us an opportunity to answer them on the air. So just as a reminder for anybody listening, if you got questions you want answered, send them to us. We'll put them on a podcast.
I can't remember. Did you explain why you called it First Name Friday?
Yeah, we did in the episode. Yeah. So we had First Name Friday in the Fighter Squadrons. First Friday where we would...
We had a lot of mandatory fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a lot of mandatory fun. Well, you don't know anybody's first name in a fighter squadron because we all go by our call sign. So it was really a way for the snacko to earn money. But on Fridays, everybody wears their call sign name tag on their flight suit.
Yeah.
So you can't see their name, but you have to call everybody by their first name or you're the snacko
it's
dollar.
It's more challenging than
it is very difficult, especially when there's new guys.
Spouses, too. Because if I'm introduced to you, like first time Paul called you Jason, I was like, who's Jason? I don't know. Because I was introduced to you as Cass. So however I'm introduced to you is how they call you, and I remember you. So it goes for the spouses, too.
It's funny. So let's stay on this for just a second. Katie, keep the mic for a minute here because there's two very different points of view here. Alicia married into this a little bit later down the road. Katie's dad was a Hornet Wizzo in the Marines.
And my grandpa.
And grandpa was a fighter pilot in the Marines. Dad did it in the Marines for 26-ish years, something like that. And then we ended up doing the same darn thing, she and I. So she has her entire life has been wrapped up into this culture. And like you said, the mandatory fun and the shenanigans and the pomp and circumstance at times and things like that. So the two different points of views that we have sitting here from the spouse's point of view, what's it like? Like you married into it, you know, obviously your dad, and then you married me as a mechanic and then ended up crossing over doing the same darn thing. So how's that journey been for 40, however many years?
Well, I always tease that I inadvertently married my dad, but when I married you were an enlisted airman. And then my dad kept bugging you for years and years about you need to be an officer. You need to be an officer. And then you become an officer and you're doing the exact same job backseat as my dad. So
hashtag humble pie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know any different. It's my life. So, yeah. You know, my dad was always gone on deployments and cross countries. And, you know, I just, you know, I don't know any different.
What did you think?
So she probably has kind of a much different experience.
I don't even know what to tell you, because when we got married, he was in Monterey at school. Oh. That was a shit ton of fun.
Yeah, I was in Naval Postgraduate School.
That was a lot of fun. So you were embedded for the
Is
first...
that where you guys met?
No, yeah. We met in sixth grade.
Yeah, we met just in sixth grade.
Yeah, at school. We went to school together. But your first two assignments that I was with you, you were embedded with a lot of different...
Branches. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was Hawaii for 2 years.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't... Yeah, you weren't flying. It was...
Yeah, I was at school, and then I was on PACOM staff for 2 years.
Yeah.
Working mostly with Marines and Navy guys.
Yeah, and that was really interesting, because both times we... We're not living on base. Monterey, kind of, but I wouldn't call that a base. Yeah. But we met some really good people in different branches that we've stayed in connection with. And then coming here to Luke, it's
different here.
Yeah, it's different.
I never got the spouse thing. I just never got involved in it. Never. It just
we were never operational.
I don't think there really was one here, because it was a different country. And then the same thing happened when we did our Army tour. We didn't really have, you know, the fighter pilot community is like, I always tease, like a fraternity, or, you know, it's a
brotherhood,
you know? Yeah. You're all friends. You're all, you know, do stuff together every weekend. And then when you go out of it, it's not quite the same.
Yeah. Luke's always been that way though. Cause guys, the ops tempo for so long was so high that guys get here and I actually get to be home every night. I'm not on the road. And so there's always at Luke, there was a pull away from the squadron to a certain extent, because guys could finally be home.
Yeah. Kind of decompress.
Yeah. There wasn't that. Yeah. It's always been that way.
Use your 3 year assignment here at Luke for what it's.
Yeah.
For what
Friday, I'm going to go home, man. I'm not going to stay here and drink with you guys until midnight, because I'm actually home for once, you know, and I need to take advantage of this time before I'm operational again. And I'm not home 6 months out of the year.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, I was a lot older. I'm not some young parent, like, not to sound weird, but I didn't have a need for that
support
system. And it's just, I mean, it would probably be different if I was a 20-year-old, had a 25-year-old, had a new family, didn't have family around. Our kids were older.
Yeah.
It was also just.
No, it's good. I knew that there would be two very different. And then Katie, you can probably speak to the difference between coming in as a crew chief and then on the officer side. There was a little bit of a different dynamic there, especially from the spouse's point of view, I think.
On the enlisted side, there wasn't, I don't think we really did a whole lot.
Yeah, we had like spouses, four close friends.
I became friends with the spouses of the people that you were friends with that we could hang out with. But then we transitioned over to the officer side. And then like I said, mandatory fun. It's, you know, I remember, you know, the monthly coffees, they said coffees, but I would bring my sippy cup full of, you know, Jack and Diet Coke or whatever it was. And I was like, I don't want to go here. And I was like, well, you got to go meet the commander's wife. You got to go meet these people. And, you know, but I was also a little bit older too, because we were prior enlisted. So, but I did make a note to Paul. I don't know if this touches base, but you know, I got to that point being, you know, grown up military, moving every 3 years. When we moved here in 2016, the longest I've ever lived anywhere in my entire life was 5 years, and that was eighth grade through graduation. Wow. And so now we've been here 7 years, you know, but two different houses. So I'm still kind of whatever. But I remember getting to the point where we were close to knowing we were going to be done, like right before this. And I remember telling you that I'm tired of courting friends. I'm tired of dating friends and making new friends.
It takes a lot of emotional equity.
You don't know anybody and you start all over again. And, you know,
I'm going to add on to that. So we talked about him staying in possibly, but I was like, if you do, you'll have to go to your next two assignments.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my next assignment after command would have been school. I would have gone to school again. And then I probably, because I was joint staff complete, there was no reason for them to send me to staff. So I would have probably gone and been an OG somewhere.
Yeah.
An ops group commander somewhere. And Alicia, our kids were doing really well. We were kind of really well established here. And she was like, well, if you go back to DC for school for a year, come home on the weekends because we're not going with you.
And I my was mom like, said the same thing to my dad when he was thinking about staying. And she goes, I'm not going. You can go by yourself.
That made that decision easy.
I think we kind of got to that same point where, I mean, sure, I could have made the next rank and kept chasing and kept driving, but I think we were just done.
Yeah.
You know, like the family's in a good spot right now. The kids are planted where they can bloom. I mean,
I've got friends that have stayed in and they'll come back and ask me and I go, dude, you'll know when you know.
Yeah.
You know,
I had so many people tell me that. It's like, how do you know when it's the right time? You'll know. Yeah. So for the military bros that are out there listening, when you get to that point in your career, you'll know when you're done.
Yeah. And there's like, I mean, I think there's so many things to be said for the military spouse, for the military family, lots of resilience. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of professional military spouses out there. I know you were a nurse. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I had just gotten my social work degree and I wanted to work because I value work.
And you have to get a new state license every time you move and they don't reimburse you.
Yes. And the other part of that for you guys is your job is very hard on your bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a young man sport.
It is.
And I
can barely turn my neck to the right anymore at the end of it. Yeah, I'm an Emmy Turner.
Zoolander.
I would have to set up BFM sets when I was on defense when I was teaching young guys to the left, because if I had to go to the right, I wasn't sure I could keep sight half the time. I still can't turn all the way over, man. Yeah. I mean, it's
same. When I have to swap lanes going down I-10 over there, I have to turn my whole body to look over my shoulder. Yeah. Yeah. So
I know you mentioned on, I don't know what episode it was, about how I used to call my rent a husbands whenever you were gone. And that's what I called them because I can't do it by myself. The washer's flooded or the car breaks down or, you know, all that kind of stuff. But when you were home, I still told people I was a single parent. Because even though you're not deployed and you're home, you didn't know what your schedule was until the night before. Yep. And you would, so I couldn't make any plans. I couldn't depend on you to pick up kids from school or football practice or anything, because it could have been a 14, 15 hour day. So I had a blast and I wouldn't have changed it for a world, but you know, I don't know any different, but it's
not an easy lifestyle, that's for sure.
It's hard. And we talked about just a few episodes ago, we were talking about for that hour and a half that you get to go up and rage and fly off into the sunset to get your air medal, there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that is not exactly fun.
Nope.
You know, missing soccer games and missing championship ball games and all different kinds of stuff.
You remember when Tyler, our oldest, said that you'd missed what nine birthdays
in a row.
And you had no idea.
Yeah.
But
it's just, you know, and that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. And luckily, I think that this is just an opinion, but I think that military kids are some of the most resilient people on the planet because they've learned to value the things that need to be valued. And we celebrate birthdays whenever we get a chance to, you know, if it's not on the day, then you know what? We'll go out to eat this weekend when we got a chance to all get together. And we kind of turned it, I don't want to say not a big deal, but we learned to celebrate the act of getting together versus the date on the calendar.
Well, and quality time over quantity of time.
Yeah. That, I think that's valid too.
Yeah, that's valid.
Cool. Wow. That first name Friday, I didn't expect to spend that much time on that one. That was good. No. Well, that led us right into cool guy stories. And we just, I don't know, we just told stories for an hour.
Stories every once in a while.
It was fun. And I learned that that Cass got to watch a guy shit in front of his sheep. Yeah. And go back and listen to it. He describes it in great detail. But
was this downtown Phoenix?
No, this was, yeah.
Might as well have been. Yeah.
It was about that hot. So
Cass made a guy kill bugs for 2 weeks and then he watched a guy take a shit in front of his sheep. So learning new stuff about Cass every day.
Well, and the point for the listeners is we try to throw those in just to lighten the mood every once in a while, because we do cover some heavier topics now and then. So
yeah, I think the fun ones, I think they break them up and it gives you and I a little bit of an outlet too.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's our show. We talk about whatever the fuck we want.
Sure.
You know? So episode 10 was a fun one. That was things that require no talent. We had a list of 10 things that really anybody can do. And it was like showing up on time and giving effort and positive energy and all that kind of stuff. And I thought that turned out to be a really good, fun episode.
I have okay. So I listened to that one. Thank you.
Thank you.
Support looks a little different, right, baby?
Yeah, it does. Just saying.
We talk a lot about
love the support structure.
The way you support me works for me, baby.
So, and I think it's, you were talking about just recognize how you're influencing people around you, like smile, like even if you're having a bad day. I was telling Jason/Cass, like there's science behind that, right? That your brain has
Do tell.
I'm going to, yes, because I loved it. I got all excited.
She did.
No, but this is actually a skill if you're feeling anxious, depressed, having a bad day, right? Mm-hmm. Smile, or it's actually called a half smile. You don't have to do a full smile for about 5-10 minutes. Your brain chemistry has to match up with the affect on your face, and you'll notice your mood will shift. So I was like, that is such great
advice.
Like, stuff. Yeah.
I didn't know that there was science behind it, but I knew that, well, I do this. I've told the story on the podcast, I think, is driving down the freeway and I'm just like in one of those really pissy moods. And I say out loud to myself, dude, smile, just smile, and make myself smile for 10 to 30 seconds or so. And you just feel better. So that's good.
And I wonder if that's why, you know, when weird stuff, shitty stuff happens to us that you can't control, we laugh, because what are you going to do about it? And you know, instead of getting angry and, you know, get all spun up and everything, just laugh it off. And
well, I think there's a lot of layers to that too. When, you know, adverse events happen in your life, you can choose to get spun up about it and not solve the problem, or you can laugh about it and not solve the problem. You know, I mean,
that became our motto. I mean, at some point you just have to either make fun of it, joke about it, laugh about it.
Yep.
We, the landlords we had in Hawaii, we had a whole like thing on it, because it was just, what do you do?
Yeah, we did. We had a whole funny thing on it, because there's just stuff that's outside of your control and no use getting upset over it.
That's a learned skill, I think, over time, though, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, when you're younger, I think you would just want to start bashing things and throwing stuff. But as we get older, maybe we get a little more stoic and a little more patient.
Yeah, and it's not about being mean, right? Because you don't want to put like that juju out, but it is. It's just like, we're going to crack a joke about this and just laugh about it, because what else is there to do?
Yeah.
Just...
Well, I remember the part in the episode that you're talking about where we were talking about energy, and not like like a battery stores energy, like coming in with a whole bunch of like rah-rah, like the Tasmanian devil or anything every day. But I'm talking about putting positive vibes out, you know, coming in with a smile on your face and high-fiving people as you walk through the hallway.
Yeah.
Just being a pleasant person to be around, and goes back to what we were talking about before. I think when you put positive energy out into the universe, you get that reciprocated back to you.
Yeah, and there's a saying out there too that I'm going to screw this one up too, but it's out of anything you can be, just be kind, right?
Yeah,
it's free. It doesn't take much. Just smile. Like, you don't know what people are going through.
And I was just going to say, you don't know what people are going through. I remember... you know, most people don't put their worst days on Facebook, but I remember a few years ago I put, you know, I have chronic pain and some medical issues and fibromyalgia, but I put like this is what today is, whatever. Yeah. And one of my friends that I worked with for years and years and years said, Katie, I had no idea that you deal with this stuff, because you always have a smile on your face and you're always laughing. And I'm like, well, why do I want to bring everybody else down when there's nothing I can do about it? You know, so that was a nice compliment.
Yeah. No, that turned out to be a good episode. Yeah. Everything that we just talked about over there takes zero talent.
Yep.
Resiliency. That was a fun one. You led off with Man in the Arena on that one. And that turned out to be a really good episode about how do you break through these hurdles in life and actually come out better on the other side.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is, welcome to life. You're going to face adversity and it's going to suck and you're going to get kicked in the junk a bunch, you know, and if you haven't yet, it's coming.
Yeah.
Just wait. There will be the time. So, not everything's going to break your way. Not everything's going to go the way you planned. And, you know, you're going to face some really difficult hardships and tragedies in life. And you have choices to make in those moments.
Yeah.
And those choices determine the outcome. And, you know, like we talked about before, some people make poor choices. You know, they isolate, they turn to things for self-soothing, whether that's alcohol or drugs or whatever the case may be. And the next thing you know, they've got an addiction and it gets out of control. And that turns into a whole other thing. You know, some people think adversity is just, or resiliency is just getting through on the other side, but that's not it, man. If there's change involved in it. And again, it goes back to self-inspection. When you're going through those things, you got to figure out what you're accountable for and what you need to fix for yourself and take the lessons learned from it. And then apply them and push through and come out better on the other side. That's what resiliency is really about.
Yeah, that's great.
I was excited about this episode because I think you mentioned Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning in this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was so excited. I was so excited. I wanted to text you both, but I didn't. It's such a good book.
Yeah,
I heard somebody on a show or a YouTube or something the other day say Viktor Frankl. Is it Frankl or Frankl?
I don't know.
Tomato,
and it probably tomato. Is something in like
he's Austrian,
Yiddish,
right?
Or, oh yeah, no. Maybe.
That one.
Well, yeah. if he was Jewish.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't remember if he was Austrian or. I don't remember.
Frankl. Anyways, Man's Search of Meaning is really good. I actually suggest that to Katie because she likes to read about the Holocaust and all that stuff and the tragedy that was. And he gives a really like an insider's point of view to it. Yeah. It was really cool.
And how he got through it all.
Yeah. And that that quote that you threw out there where the stimulus and the response and in the gap or in the middle, there's a gap where you get to choose. I've seen that actually floating around social media a lot lately, and I meant to screenshot it the other day and send it over to you. So again, I mean, here we are leading the charge. We had that out there before anybody else did.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, the next step, go ahead.
We'll get into some of that when we get into emotional intelligence too.
Yeah.
So
the next episode was a lot of fun because that was the first time that we had anybody else sitting in the room besides us two.
We had a guest.
And I got to tell the Nikki Boner story, which was fucking hilarious. I've still got that text message screenshot. Oh my God, that was funny. He goes, "What? Which one? How many boner stories do you have, man?" But anyways,
life with all boys.
It was the, you want to tell that from your point of view? Cause I told it from mine, but
I think that's a no. I don't think she wants to relive it, Roscoe.
Like gestures and
let's table that for another discussion. But anyways, that was the shame episode that we had Alicia in.
So, yeah.
One thing that we failed to do at the beginning of this episode was introduce our wives. But on that episode, I thought that you did a pretty good intro of her, talking about her qualifications and why she should be in here talking about the shame and the shame resiliency and all that. And that actually ended up being a pretty cool episode because I went into it completely ignorant. I purposely didn't do any research leading up to that so that I was able to ask some what I thought were authentic, dumb questions.
I didn't think they were dumb. There's no such thing as a dumb question.
Just dumb people.
No, it turned out to be a really good episode because I have obviously never done this before. And we had sat down and talked about like what this would look like. And I think, it ended up being really, really good. And I love the questions you asked and things it brought up. And
I've gotten good feedback around that episode from several people that have listened to it.
I don't remember all the questions, but I don't remember when I was listening to it, any of them being dumb. I think that it was, they were authentic and that's probably what the majority of people around this subject, you know, are ignorant about.
Well, that was it. That's the key word right there. It was based completely out of ignorance because other than knowing, or at least knowing what I'd read the definition of shame, getting able to deep dive into that from a professional's point of view, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, and if I'm honest with you on that episode, you weren't completely ignorant to it. You just had never talked about it in that way before, right? Just didn't have the literacy, the language that some of the language that we talked about and the literacy around it to break out what's the difference between being embarrassed and shame or, you know, all the different definitions that Alicia walked us through. And so, I thought it was a good episode.
Isn't that true though, to a lot of the things that we've talked about is the heavier episodes where it's really just an understanding of the language and like the words mean things, right? And understanding some of the meaning behind that. Like we can throw the word values and integrity around all the time, but until you really dig into it and figure out what that shit means, you know, how can you apply something if you don't have a true understanding of it?
Yeah, that's why we say this is the podcast we wish we would have had when we were younger men, because I wish somebody would have had conversations like this with me when I was a younger man. I'd have gotten from A to Z much faster.
Look out, Rogan. We're coming.
I just want to point out that the podcast is aimed towards younger men, but it's got so much value and feedback and advice for women and people of all ages. I mean, we have people who are in their 60s that are listening to it and get stuff from it. So it's
100%. Cause we've talked about this because there are men out there that mentor. They're either raising grandchildren, they're raising
their own sons,
nephews, their own sons. Yep. I think it's like across the board.
And this is all stuff that women need to know too. You know, you guys just happen to be men, so you're
Yeah. But shame resiliency or resiliency or integrity or defining personal values, that stuff applies to everybody.
Yeah. And I know we've said before that it's never too late to start.
Nope.
But you need to start.
You got to start.
You got to start. You know, the journey of 1,000 miles, first step, all that good stuff. Another First Name Friday in November, we talked about keeping your partner happy and fighting complacency. And I think that tied right back into a lot of the things we had already talked about up to that point of, hey, you know, focus on yourself and, you know, put out positive energy into the universe and hopefully your partner reciprocates some of that. And it was good. It ended up being a good episode. And that was the one, I'm pretty sure that was the one that we failed miserably at the first name stuff.
Oh, I'm sure. There's like the been first more one, than one.
The first one, we were kind of hyper aware to it, but that one, I don't know if we got a single one right.
You'll never be Paul to me. I just wish you didn't know that.
I think you guys should legit assess each other, and then at the end of the year, they can take us out to dinner.
That's a great idea.
Maybe it's better. I had said assess each other and then give to charity or something like that. Yeah, that's the charity. That's
better. This is...
charity.
This is bullshit. I don't like this.
It was your idea.
What? Putting money... Okay, we'll get a jar and we'll... Good God, man. I'm going to have to start bringing ones in here. People are going to think I went to a strip club.
Alicia told me, because I think one time, so I have to carry ones with me when I travel because we always tip the guys that drive us to and from the hotels. And so,
and I call them, so that's what it is. And so
she made a comment to me one time because I was like, oh, I got to go to the bank and get a bunch of ones, because when I first started flying on the commercial side, because I was like, I got to, you know, because it's embarrassing when, you know, they drop you off and then now you're like, oh, can I run? Do you have change? You know, anyways, and you don't want to spend that time. She goes, oh, you're going to go get a big fat wad of stripper dollars, honey?
Yeah.
So now I always call them stripper dollars. And I think I said that on the podcast one time. And she goes, you know, you should probably clarify that for your listeners.
Stripper dollars. All right. So I guess from now on, when we do First Name Fridays, we'll come in with our roll of stripper dollars and.
I'll be ready.
That's gonna end up deteriorating very quickly.
Yes.
Look out, 2024. Here we go. Man, the next episode was all right. Story time with Roscoe. So there I was. Chelsea's Bar and Grill, 1997. All right. My crew's sitting at one end of the table. There's four of us, I think. And I was sitting on the far side of the table where I could see the door, and in walks the other crew that was supposed to meet up with us. We had mutual friends. I don't know if I knew, maybe I might have known one of the guys that was in this other crew. I don't remember. So this is all kind of new. Well, in walks these five or six people from this other crew, and they sat down at the other end of the table. We had a long ass table, bunch of chairs. Here they come. And who sat next to me but this hot blonde named Katie? All right. And this next episode that we're talking about is Opportunity. So there was an opportunity there. I could talk to this girl and get to know her a little bit, or I could stick with my crew and just talk to the bros and whatnot. Now, I'll say that was an opportunity, but I always say have an exit strategy. So while I did talk to Katie, and obviously it worked because 27 years later, 26, 27 years, we're sitting here. But my exit strategy was I told her my name was Bob for 2 weeks.
He legit. I said, hey, my name's Katie. And he said, I'm Bob. I called this asshole Bob for 2 weeks hanging out as friends, and even went along, and I was dating his friend at the time that was in the same squadron he was in. And we're hanging out, you know, doing all this kind of stuff. And then I went to go see my boyfriend in his squadron one day, and I knew his last name was White, and this was back before computers and all that kind of stuff. So they had the name list, and this is where you go to the CQ main desk and you'd say, I'm here for Airman so-and-so. And they'd send a runner to go knock on the dorm room and come get you or whatever. So while I'm waiting for my boyfriend to come down, I'm looking through the list, and I don't know why I was seeing it, but I saw White, and there was only one White in the dorm room, but it was Paul R. White. And I even made an excuse for him saying, oh, well, maybe his middle name's Robert and he goes by Bob. Yeah. And then about a week later, somebody said, who are you talking
Who's
to?
Bob?
Who's Bob? Yeah. I guess I like sarcastic assholes.
Whatever.
That's funny. Must have worked.
Friends first.
Must have worked. So the episode on Opportunity, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
How do you create it? How do you recognize it? And then really more important of those two is how do you take an opportunity, that fearlessness to actually walk through the door once it's cracked open. I really enjoyed that episode.
Yeah, me too. And I think the key takeaway on that is just, and we've said this on other podcasts too, is opportunity lies outside of your comfort zone. So sometimes you got to put yourself out there. You got to have a little bit of courage. You got to make yourself vulnerable. You got to go talk to the boss and tell him that you want more on your plate, or that you'd really like to be a part of that team, or whatever. You sometimes you do have to create that opportunity for yourself.
Yeah. Talk to the girl.
Yeah.
Well, eat the octopus, whatever it is. You just never know.
We always teach our kids is, what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to say no.
Yeah. You're in exactly the same
position. You're in exactly the same spot.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Do we need to take a break?
Nope. I just need to close it because it's shining in their eyes. I'll be right back.
Right on. Well, while he's doing that, we kind of already touched on this one, but the next episode was traditions, and
that was my idea.
This was Katie's idea. She has a lot of value and a lot of input into the podcast, and this was the target of opportunity around Veterans Day, and she says you should do something about fighter pilot traditions and the heritage and all that stuff. And you and I were both displaced on that one. I think you were in Compton, and I was in south of Fresno.
Yeah, I think I was in Long Beach or something.
Yeah, and.
Yeah, I was in Long Beach.
So,
yeah, close.
I mean, we talked about a little bit of the traditions from the wives' side, and I thought it was pretty cool. It ended up being, so if you go on YouTube and you look, that episode has by order of magnitude of about 5 or 6 more views than any other episode. So clearly people are interested in it, and that was one of the first that we actually did video, even though we were remote, we still did the video so people could see our ugly mugs. But that was Katie's idea, and I thought it ended up being a good one.
Well, and I don't remember what we were talking about, but I was like, you should do a podcast episode on this, and because there's so much cool tradition and things in the military, and a lot of fun to be had. It's a lot of work, and from both sides, but it's a lot of fun. The women have their things that they do. We have the CRED tournaments, and which is a pool game, it's hard to explain for those that are listening. And then, go into the bar on Friday nights and then ringing the bell. And, we would get, I don't remember what mine was, but we would get spouse names, call signs, and all that kind of stuff. And the coffees and so much. It was a lot of fun.
It is, and it kind of highlights the fact that it does become a lifestyle.
Yeah,
to a degree. Yeah.
Yep, it does.
Interesting.
Part of what makes it so hard for guys to break away from it when they leave.
Gosh, it is, man. I mean, they even give you a new name for crying out loud.
Yeah.
You're like a whole nother person when you walk through the squadron doors, and you spend so much time there with those people doing those things that, I can see. I mean, I think we're all guilty of it at a certain point of kind of getting lost and wrapped up in that.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to divorce away from it. And, kind of going into that, into the next episode was about influence. And I mean, we were definitely influenced by our environment for sure. But, the other side to who influences you is who do you influence, and that energy that you put out into the universe, and all that kind of circular jargon that we talk about.
Well, that's totally your 105 project that you created. Yeah.
Yeah. Putting, focus on yourself, make yourself the best version of yourself that you can. And other people are going to pick up on that. And hopefully you're setting a good enough example that people want to, in Katie's words. So I'd been going for about, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years or something down my path. And I never even invited her to come along with me on this, because this was my journey. And I recognized that right off the bat. And it was full of self-discovery and just getting my mind, body, soul balance back where it needed to be. And one day I came out of the room, out of my man room, came around the corner, and she goes, "Stop. I don't know what you're doing back there, but I got to get some of that." And that really started the discussion about getting her on her path. And the one thing that I would like for people to understand when we talk about this kind of stuff is these paths are individual, and they're very intimate to that person. And you can't compare yourself to other people on their journey and where they're at. You have to do your thing and focus on you and making yourself better. And that other person, it may take them a while. It may take a couple of years, but eventually they're like, "Hey, wait a minute, you look better. You sound better. You're eating better. You're not doing some of the bad habits that you used to. And I can tell, and I need to get up there with you."
Yeah, well, first, go back and listen to the shame episode, right? Because, and correct me if I get this wrong, babe, but comparison leads to scarcity and scarcity leads to shame, right? So we've talked a lot about don't play the comparison game with people, right? Focus on yourself. Focus on the things you can control. It's not about what the person next to you is doing. It's about what's the task ahead of you today. We've talked about at different episodes prior to this, the inspire change piece, you know, and just how, as you move through these things, you're going to inspire change in the people around you, like your story right there with Katie, because, you know, people are going to see a shift in you. People are going to see a change. They're going to start to ask questions.
Well, he was feeling better. He was looking better. He was, you know, the energy coming off of him was better, and it was almost contagious.
Yeah.
You know, it was.
But that's also how you inspire change, which is kind of the pillar of what we're talking about, right, man? Is make these changes for yourself. People are going to notice. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as you start to surround yourself with those five people, or you become one of those five people for somebody else, you're going to be able to influence folks that way.
Yeah. And we looked at it from, we've had the discussion about role models on the show before, and how, you know, you might have this role model that you like a lot of the things that this person does, but maybe you don't like everything. And it's okay to cherry pick from other people. Whatever gets you motivated to get on your journey and start taking those steps for yourself, I think is the important part.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that led right into the next episode about fundamentals, where we talked about focusing on the basic shit in life, man. Get up early, make your bed, do the right things. Choose good. Yeah. I mean, and a lot of that comes right back to the things that require no talent.
Yeah, you know, it just all ties together.
Yeah, do those things and do them well, and I think you'll be okay. Speaking of fundamentals, I told this story in the next episode, I believe, or maybe it was in the fundamentals episode, about the Cardinals red and white practice and how I was really taken back by watching these guys who are pro football players do the same drills that I've got 8 years old to high schoolers doing. The fundamental basic building blocks. And that next episode that we went into was lessons from sports.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that ended up being really good. And
that was Alicia's idea.
Oh, awesome. See?
Yeah.
Value added.
We contribute.
Oh, so just as a sidebar, you both have a ton of influence on here, because a lot of the stuff a lot of the topics that we've come up with as we've talked through the podcast are things that, like, Alicia and I will talk about, and we'll be talking about something. She's like, "Oh, you should talk about this on the podcast," and it goes on the list, you know. And so
I have a list now going.
Yeah, we do that all the time.
Yeah, it's hard not to, because you guys talk about such good things, but you only have so much time.
Yeah,
and so unless you're talking about something very specific, you don't always deep dive.
Yeah,
but that's okay, because.
Yeah, there's definitely some things that we could go deeper into that we've talked about that we're kind of surface level on to start with. So,
well, I think it'll be fun, you know, as time and episodes go on, it'll be fun to circle back to a few of these and take that conversation for what it was, and then maybe pick a piece of it and deep dive into it. Like, I really liked the self-inspection, and that was great. And it's such a bedrock for everything that we talk about. But I think that there's even more that we could go into on that. So, we'll put a little asterisk up there, and maybe 2024 will bring us to redoing some episodes, or at least reattacking some of them. We went into Ditch Diggers, talking about it's okay to work hard and support your family.
Yeah.
This fallacy that society is trying to teach you or tell you about, you need to go get this high priced education.
You need to get education at some point, but this idea that you have to have a bachelor's degree or a master's degree or a PhD to be successful in life is a fallacy. And if you're good, and like I said in the podcast, the bottom line is if we didn't have plumbers, electricians, wastewater management people, you know, the folks that deal with garbage, we did people that work construction, that pour concrete, that, you know, build our roads, that build bridges. If we didn't have all of these people that work on the trains, if we didn't have these people, this country would come to a grinding halt in about a week. So, I mean, electrical grids, people that run power lines, do stuff at APS or, you know, whatever the power company. I mean, they're valuable jobs. They require a great amount of skill. And if that's something that you're interested in, go for it, man. You don't have to have a college degree to be successful in life.
When the power goes out in the middle of the Alabama football game, and you eject up out of your chair and start screaming obscenities, you're not calling the doctor. You're calling that electrician.
Yep.
That happened at the NAU game, remember? It was NAU, Caleb's football game. Yeah, and it was after 10 o'clock because it went into overtime, and they couldn't find the guy because he went home.
It was seriously, the game goes on. We're in overtime, and they had only, I guess, paid for the lights until 10. And no shit, at 2200, at 10 o'clock, the whole – have you ever been in an NAU?
Yeah, it's dark up there, too.
It just went – everything went dark and we're all like, what the heck? And then you see like a million cell phones and the little lights cut on, and it took them a good 5 or 6 minutes to get the lights back on. Like nobody knew what to do. But I wonder if that person that got the lights back on had a college degree. I don't know.
But yeah, I really like that episode because, you know, we've always told our kids that you define success. And I know you've talked about it on the show, but it doesn't mean how much money you make. You know, it means paying your bills, not having to mooch off of people and being a contributing member of society. And
that's right. Be independent, productive citizens. No. You need to take a break?
I'm going to just take care of it all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you guys don't see what I see. I've been seeing the poodle like on his hind legs back and forth. Keep laughing.
Cass, do you want me to hit pause and wait until? Oh, she's
quick.
We have a fifth person in the room. All right. Welcome to the podcast.
This is bad.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah.
He can walk on his hind legs.
All right. Showing off. All right. Well, we're getting close. First thing Friday, December was social anxiety. That was kind of the big deal on that one. And I know I'm guilty of it. I just prefer to sit in the corner sometimes and people watch. I thought there were some really good points that came out of that one about how to deal with it and how to learn how to talk to people and maybe get over some of that stuff.
Well, and a lot of it is self-awareness too. You're aware of, you know, you're going to be in that position and make sure you have your earplugs and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm aware that you're like that. So I know that you're sitting in the corner.
Like the other day at the Christmas party, there was a long time where I just put my earplugs in and sat down on the couch. And I sit down at the far end of the couch where this is after you guys left. It was noisy. It was really busy. There were a lot of people moving around and I kind of had enough and I needed to go put myself in time out for a few minutes. I was still in the room.
Yeah.
But, and then the last episode that's come up there was the financial discipline, which was unbeknownst to me. I guess people had been yearning for that one. So it was good timing to bring that one out. And I think that we could go even deeper on that one as well.
We could go deep into budgeting.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you could take any of those.
Yeah, we could definitely go deeper into that one. Since that was pretty wave top.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was a good one. That was a fun one. And we're definitely going to have to asterisk that one and come back to it.
But. Yeah.
So that was 22 episodes since we launched on October. September 1st.
Was it September or October?
I think it was September. Yeah.
I'm so proud of you guys. Just have to say that. And then I know that he's probably told you, if not, he says several times, he said this to me, that he's really glad that you guys rekindled your friendship.
Yeah, me too. That's been good.
That's been probably, to me, I mean, yes, it's fun to have the discussions. It's fun to research the topics. It's fun to come up with stories to tell and all that. But I think the reconnection here has probably been the best part, at least to me anyways.
Yeah, and it's value added.
Yeah, it's fun, man. And you know, being able to call you whenever I want to, even though you don't like chit chat and all, but you know, it's been nice. It's been really fun and I can't wait to see what the next 2024 holds. Who knows? I know we got some stuff that's lining up, some interviews. We're going to have other people on the show and hopefully get to come back and reattack some of these. And
yeah, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it, man. Thanks for doing this with me.
Yeah,
and thanks to both of you for all your support. Cause I know we pull each other away on the weekends to record or, there's been a financial investment in all of this.
Well, now we got these really badass coffee mugs to use.
Yeah, we do.
On the show.
So
do we get paid for being here?
We appreciate all the stuff that you guys
do. Do I need to go into the discussion when I'm just, you know what? I'm not going to go into that. It turns X-rated very quickly.
Yeah.
Anyways, now that's. And thanks for being good sports coming on the show. And there was some
on the show.
There was some resistance or hesitancy, I should say, is probably the better word.
Yeah.
But, low threat, lots of good fun, lots of laughs. I think it was a great way to wrap up 2023. What do you guys think? Pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's
awesome.
Yeah.
Next time we have drinks when we do this, it'll be
That'll be better.
There'll be more comedy mixed in. That's great. Cass, what you got, man? Parting shots?
That's it. Be the change.
Be the one. Thanks for flying with the Be One Change One podcast. If you got something out of this show, then be the one and share it in your circles of influence.
You can be our wingman through our website at www.b1changeone.com. That's B and the number one, change and the number one.com.
We invite you to be the one and join our fighter squadron on social media at B1 Change One on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. You can follow us at Paul Roscoe White on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, as well as Roscoe's website, www.paulroscoewhite.com.
You can email us from the website and please leave comments, share, and ask questions, or leave ideas of things you would like to discuss on future podcasts. Most importantly, be the one that helps us win the algorithm by leaving a review on whatever platform you're listening on.
Thanks for joining. Until next time, be the one.